Good morning. Let's turn to Genesis 27. Genesis 27. Now it came about, when Isaac was old and his eyes were too dim to see, that he called his older son Esau and said to him, "My son," and he said to him, "Here I am." Isaac said, "Behold now, I am old and I do not know the day of my death. Now then, please take your gear, your quiver, and your bow, and go out to the field and hunt game for me, and prepare a savory dish for me, such as I love, and bring it to me that I may eat, so that my soul may bless you before I die." Rebekah was listening while Isaac spoke to his son Esau. So when Esau went to the field to hunt for game to bring home, Rebekah said to her son Jacob, "Behold, I heard your father speak to your brother Esau, saying, 'Bring me some game and prepare a savory dish for me, that I may eat and bless you in the presence of the Lord before my death.' Now therefore, my son, listen to me as I command you. Go now to the flock and bring me two choice young goats from there, that I may prepare them as a savory dish for your father, such as he loves. Then you shall bring it to your father, that he may eat, so that he may bless you before his death." Jacob answered his mother Rebekah, "Behold, Esau my brother is a hairy man, and I am a smooth man. Perhaps my father will feel me, then I will be as a deceiver in his sight, and I will bring upon myself a curse and not a blessing." But his mother said to him, "Your curse be on me, my son. Only obey my voice and go get them for me." So he went and got them and brought them to his mother, and his mother made savory food such as his father loved. Then Rebekah took the best garments of Esau, her older son, which were with her in the house, and put them on Jacob, her younger son. And she put the skins of the young goats on his hands and on the smooth part of his neck. She also gave the savory food and the bread, which she had made to her son Jacob. Then he came to his father and said, "My father." And he said, "Here I am. Who are you, my son?" Jacob said to his father, "I am Esau, your firstborn. I have done as you told me. Get up. Please sit and eat of my game, that you may bless me." Isaac said to his son, "How is it that you have it so quickly, my son?" And he said, "Because the Lord your God caused it to happen to me." Then Isaac said to Jacob, "Please come close, that I may feel you, my son, whether you are really my son Esau or not." So Jacob came close to Isaac, his father, and he felt him and said, "The voice is the voice of Jacob, but the hands are the hands of Esau." He did not recognize him because his hands were hairy like his brother Esau's hands. So he blessed him. And he said, "Are you really my son Esau?" And he said, "I am." So he said, "Bring it to me, and I will eat of my son's game, that I may bless you." And he brought it to him, and he ate. He also brought him wine, and he drank. Then his father Isaac said to him, "Please come close and kiss me, my son." So he came close and kissed him. And when he smelled the smell of his garment, he blessed him and said, "See, the smell of my son is like the smell of a field which the Lord has blessed. Now may God give you the dew of the heaven and the fatness of the earth and an abundance of grain and new wine. May peoples serve you and nations bow down to you. Be masters of your brothers, and may your mother's sons bow down to you. Cursed be those who curse you, and blessed be those who bless you." Now it came about, as soon as Isaac had finished blessing Jacob, and Jacob had hardly gone out from the presence of Isaac his father, that Esau his brother came in from his hunting. Then he also made savory food and brought it to his father. And he said to his father, "Let my father arise and eat of his son's game, that you may bless me." Isaac his father said to him, "Who are you?" And he said, "I am your son, your firstborn Esau." Then Isaac trembled violently and said, "Who was he then that hunted game and brought it to me, so that I ate of all of it before you came and blessed him? Yes, and he shall be blessed." When Esau heard the words of his father, he cried out with an exceedingly great and bitter cry and said to his father, "Bless me, even me also, O my father." And he said, "Your brother came deceitfully and has taken away your blessing." Then he said, "Is he not rightly named Jacob? For he has supplanted me these two times. He took away my birthright, and behold, now he has taken away my blessing." And he said, "Have you not reserved a blessing for me?" But Isaac replied to Esau, "Behold, I had made him your master, and all his relatives I have given to him as servants, and with grain and new wine I have sustained him. Now as for you, what can I do, my son?" Esau said to his father, Do you have only one blessing, my father? Bless me, even me also. Oh, my father. So Esau lifted his voice and wept. Then Isaac, his father, answered and said to him, Behold, away from the fertility of the earth shall be your dwelling, and away from the dew of heaven from above. By your sword you shall live, and your brother you shall serve. But it shall come about when you become restless that you may break his yoke from your neck. So Esau bore a grudge against Jacob because of the blessing with which his father had blessed him. And Esau said to himself, The days of mourning for my father are near. Then I will kill my brother Jacob. Now when the words of her elder son Esau were reported to Rebekah, she sent and called her younger son Jacob and said to him, Behold, your brother Esau is consoling to himself concerning you by planning to kill you. Now, therefore, my son, obey my voice and arise, flee from Haran to my brother Laban, or Laban. Stay with him a few days until your brother's fury subsides, until your brother's anger against you subsides and he forgets what you did to him. Then I will send and get you from there. Why should I bereave of you both in one day? Rebekah said to Isaac, I am tired of living because of the daughters of Heth. If Jacob takes a wife from the daughters of Heth, like these from the daughters of the land, what good will my life be to me? Amen. Let's pray. Father, we just want to thank you for this morning. And I pray, God, that your Holy Spirit will dwell in this place and really gather amongst us, God. And I pray, Lord, that you will come and speak to us. And we love you in this place. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So I've been reading Genesis, and recently came across Genesis 27. And I saw that, you know, the story about Jacob's deception. And, you know, what we read, you know, we see that Jacob, you know, stole away Esau's blessing. But there's also a backstory, so I'll just give you a little bit of a background. So basically the background is, when Jacob was born, God had already spoken to Isaac and said that he was going to be ruling over his brother Esau, and that so Esau was going to serve under him. And throughout all this time, whatever reason it was, Isaac seemed to have decided to do it his own way, and wanting and desiring to bless Esau instead of Jacob. So So that's why, you know, he called Esau in and he wanted to bless him. And Rebecca had heard of this, and so she decided to intervene. Rebecca clearly knows that God has a plan for Jacob in this way as well. But when she heard that Esau was going to do it his way, I guess she decided to do it her way and asked Jacob to go in and lie to Isaac. And when I read this, I thought, oh, this is very interesting, because when Rebecca proposed this idea to Jacob, Jacob didn't say anything like, oh, I can't lie, or, oh, this is not good. But he just went, oh, but my skin is really smooth, and Esau's skin is not smooth, so I would turn out to be a liar to my dad. He's going to find out that I'm lying. And I was thinking, how could he think that? You know, but he did, and he went on with this, and then I was also thinking, oh, you know, so how could this happen? Why was it that Esau only had one blessing and decided not to give anything else to? Sorry, Isaac only had one blessing and decided not to give anything else to Esau, and even confirmed it to Esau when he went up and asked for his father for another blessing. I mean, first of all, just to let you know, is when Esau sold his birthright to Jacob as a firstborn, he sold his birthright, that already kind of took away his right as a firstborn to receive the firstborn's blessing. And when he also married a woman that Abraham had told them not to, like a Canaanite woman, I think, a woman outside of what his grandfathers wanted him to marry, he also kind of stepped away from his blessing as the firstborn. So technically speaking, I suppose, you know, in this sense, Esau had already kind of gave up his right as a firstborn to receive this blessing. So everything kind of flowed out the way that it should in terms of Esau didn't get this and Jacob did. But I just thought that there was such a problem with the way they went about this, and I was just reflecting on this in our lives and how many times we do this to kind of interject in the middle of what we believe God is doing or what we have heard the Lord had told us to do, whatever he had, just say, you know, you receive a word of prayer and a prophecy and, you know, something was going to happen, but it takes time to walk out. And it also takes a move of God. It also takes God working with people and causing everything to work out. But it does not take us to do it outside of God's value, God's moral, and God's will, and doing it in a deceptive nature or doing it in a way that is ungodly. And throughout this whole thing, I just thought, you know, Jacob went into Isaac, and so many times, you know, Isaac had tried to reconfirm 3 times, and it just reminded me of the chances that Jesus gave Judas when he betrayed him. 3 times, you know, like times where Isaac was like, "Are you my son? How come you got so fast? You know, how could you hunt so fast? Oh yeah, you know, the Lord gave me the food and I was able to give it to you." And then it's like, "Oh, are you, come closer, let me smell you." Like, there were so many, like 3 times Isaac had asked Jacob, like right there, spot on, "Hey, you don't sound like Esau," you know? But Jacob just lied, and it almost came so easily. And I was thinking, you know, sometimes when you start off something and you start lying, it kind of snowballs and you kind of have no choice but to continue to lie, or you kind of have to, or is sold in this own story of yourself, of this own lie in yourself, that you just do it. And so Jacob never kind of repented. It's almost as if his conscience wasn't even there. Like, it almost was like every time he said it, it was just hardening and hardening and hardening just so that he can get the blessing. And then the 4th time was when Isaac asked him to come closer to smell him, right? So, you know, Isaac gave him fair chances, yet Jacob did not do anything about it. And he continued to lie. So, yeah, so I just thought, you know, it is something that is quite sobering for me. And as a consequence, I mean, yeah, this had happened and this was the Lord's will. Jacob became blessed. Jacob became the carrier of the generations to come. That kind of brings forth Jesus. But I was looking also, not only was the consequence was Jacob had to run away, had to leave home. He was the promise came to him a lot later. It was delayed, and that he was constantly in the fear of his brother killing him for 30 odd years or something like that. And for Rebecca, you know, as the mother who loved Jacob, who favored him, you know, who thought that she was doing justice by fighting for her son and doing God's will and taking things into her own hands so that God's will can be done. As a result of that, she actually never got to see Jacob again. You know, like, it was supposed to be something that, oh, I'll send you away for a little bit and then you come back when Esau's anger subsides. But it ended up, she died. And, you know, she never got to see her favorite, her beloved son. And I think that kind of broke my heart, you know, like, wow, all these things you go through and you think you're doing justice, you think you're fighting for the best for your son, but, you know, if she can turn back time, I wonder if she would have chosen to do the same thing, knowing that she would never see her son again. And, yeah, and I feel like, you know, it's also in the Abraham and Sarah story, you know, that we can learn. You know, there are so many times, you know, when God promised Abraham that he would be the father of like many sons, and that he would Sarah would bear a child for him. You know, Sarah took it into his own hands, gave him Hagar, her slave, and then kind of messed everything up as well. Everything was so delayed. Ishmael is like out in the boonies, and Hagar is sad, and the tribes have split, and you know, the consequences of taking things into our own hands. So yeah, so I guess today is a short sharing, but I really feel like, you know, there are so many things to kind of just sit in and think about in our lives as well, what we do and how we deal with what the Lord has given us and the purposes and the goals and the callings that He has for us. Are we going to interject in the middle of God's plan because we are impatient or because we are fearful that someone else is going to take over it or take care of it or snatch it away from us? Or are we going to sit and wait and trust in the Lord and walk it out with Him and listen to Him instead of the voice of a human being like Jacob did? You know, he must have known the plan of God for him as well, but he decided to listen to his mom. He listened to a human, and then he just went the wrong way. He could have waited, and he could have trusted in God, because the Lord will show up. If God had said it, He will make it happen, whether it is through the works of another person or not, but it will definitely not be in a work that is ungodly. And Jacob should have and could have rested with that. Rebecca should have and could have trusted in that as well. Yeah, so Janella, if I can invite you up. You know, simple things like the position in God, in work, you know, what are we going to do with it? Are we going to fight for it? Are we going to trust in God? Whether we are to move in a country or not, you know, is it now or is it later? Are we called to be a missionary or not? You know, all these little decisions, even unforgiveness, taking revenge. You know, someone has harmed you and you're like, but this is not right. Are you going to just do it your own way or not? I think it is good to just meditate on it for a little bit and trust and know that, you know, if the Lord has spoken, He will make it happen. And He cares for you more. He doesn't want you to go into the wilderness. He doesn't want your plans to be delayed. You know, the way that He wants it to happen is always the perfect way. He doesn't want you to have a kind of blotched line, you know, when you, at the end of life, when you look back and what you have done, you know. He doesn't want you to look back and see that, oh, I have done this just because I wanted what you had given me, you know, and I went about it in an unrighteous way. So God, we just ask that you will come and you will just move in our hearts and speak to us and let us know, God, if there are any things that we are planning to or we are desiring to or we want to kind of just impatiently take it into our own hands or come about it in an ungodly way, in a way that is displeasing to you, God. I pray, God, that you will come and change our hearts, change our ways, realign our thoughts, our hope, our heart to you, God. Know that we can trust in you because your words will never come back to you empty or void, Lord. You will always accomplish what you say you will do, God. And your plans and purpose for us is written in your book as well, God. May we just really trust in you in this, Lord. So thank you, God. Let's worship. Father, we're so thankful, God, that you watch over us every step of our way, Lord. And, you know, you're the light onto our path and lamp onto our feet, God. And we're so thankful, God, that we can follow you and we can hear from you directly, God. You know, that your Holy Spirit dwells within us to teach us and to guide us in all of our ways, God. We're so thankful for your grace and your love for us, God, that even in, you know, in the midst of so many mistakes and wrong decisions and human interjections that we have done in our own lives, God, that, you know, you still come and you cover us and you love us. And I just pray, God, that, you know, we would learn to really heed your voice and follow you completely, surrender our own fleshly desires and emotions onto you, God, and know that you're the Lord of your word, God, and have trust and confidence in you, God, and only you, God, that nothing else in this world will waver us and will toss us from the left or to the right, God, but that we will be so anchored in you, God, that we may walk out our life in the ways that you have planned. So we thank you, God, in Jesus' name. Let's turn to our prayer focus. Let's pray for our community who are battling cancer. Let's lift them up. Let's move on to the next slide. Let's pray for our brothers and sisters and their loved ones who are suffering from illness and need salvation. Let's pray that the Lord will open their eyes and open their hearts, soften their hearts to receive. And let's pray that they will have faithful brothers and sisters around them to minister and to share the good news to them. Let's pray for those that are suffering from sicknesses. Let's pray that they will find full healing in Jesus' name, that they will be able to walk out with full health and not be troubled by these infirmities. Let's pray for those that are looking for jobs. Let's pray that during this time of wait that they will continue to draw close to the Lord and yeah, really get to know Him and have such a deep foundation in Him that when they are planted into their new workplace, they will just be able to flourish and move with so much grace and love and wisdom as well. Let's pray for our Thursday prayer focus. Let's lift up Singapore, SP Singapore, P. Sam Kim, his whole family. Let's pray for Indonesia and Spin, Pastor Salamat and his whole family. Let's also pray for SP Seoul, the church plant, Unsung and Janice, that they will have wisdom as well. Let's lift up our family all over the world. Let's pray for our prayer and healing ministry, IP, Well, and Cascade. Pray for His anointing and protection. Let's pray that all the ministers will be filled with His love and His presence. And let's pray that, these ministries will continue to grow as well. Let's lift up our education ministries, Noah's Ark, SP Youth, SPU. Let's pray for His anointing and that all the young people will encounter God. And also lift up the SP Youth Retreat that's happening this weekend. Let's pray that they will have an encountering of the Lord during this weekend. Let's pray for our Thursday outreaches, SP Lights and Homie Outreach. Let's pray that they will be warm tonight as the weather is cooler, and that they will be such effective, loving tools for the Lord to use to minister love and hope to the community of Hong Kong. Let's continue to pray for those that are being ministered to, that they will open their hearts and receive the Lord. Let's pray for our house churches, Element and Olympic. This is the last week that they're meeting for 2016. Let's pray that they will have such a powerful meeting, a meeting that is close and intimate, and a meeting with God in it. So let's pray that these house churches will also finish strong, so that they will have such great anticipation to enter into the year 2017. Father, we just want to thank you, Lord, for your mercies are new every morning. And I pray, God, that we will fall deeper in love with you every day, God. And we just want to lift today up to you, God, and just surrender our hearts to you and let you come in and guide us and lead us. Let us hear your voice and let us reciprocate your love today. We love you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Have a good morning. See you soon.